Time now for Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme.
Sluggy, I know you inspire tons of people with the work you do. They might want to learn how they can be like you and do well while doing good, helping people and pushing positivity. Some might call it being a social entrepreneur, somebody whose business is making other people's lives better. NTI and Coursera have a course called Becoming a Social Entrepreneur. In this course, each week you will see and hear from real-life social entrepreneurs working around the world, sharing lessons that they have learned, from providing clean water in India and the Dominican Republic, to warming premature babies without incubators, improving education in Africa and Detroit, and providing affordable fresh food to low-income residents of Los Angeles. This course will help you develop your own social entrepreneurship idea to do well while doing good. Check out the course called Becoming a Social Entrepreneur and many more courses from the NTI and Coursera. Go to training.nti.org.bb and sign up for a free, fully accredited online course. training.nti.org.bb. Go and get it, go get it, because you're never too good to get better.
Thank you, Adrian. Before we catch up with Sluggy, let's take in the music, the brand new single of one of our featured guests this evening. Sensational way to start this week's edition of Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, brand new single from Lee Phillips, song called Body on Body. And Sluggy is the host, Lee is the guest. So good evening to both of you and welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Manners and respect. Good evening, peoples. This is Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan. And we have the awesome and lovely Miss Phillips here with us this evening, and it's an absolute pleasure. She's a fantastic vocalist, as you all heard, but she's an artist, a a very, very serious artist, you know, someone who wants to have a conversation with for a while, and certainly one of the brilliant young minds we have in Barbados. So it's an absolute pleasure, and I'm pleased that, again, messages already. So I love you, Barbados. And once again, I'll tell you all, Starcom's number is 434-1790. 434-1790, not Sluggy's number. But I appreciate all the messages. And yes, she's here. And Miss Phillips, can you please sound your voice, tell everyone good evening, and introduce yourself to Barbados?
All right, good evening to all the listeners at VOB 92.9 FM. My name is Lisa, and I'm a songwriter hailing from right here in Barbados. Born in Grenada, raised here, and proud to always be repping the Bajan flag.
Aye. You had better put in that plug. Born in Grenada. So what age you came to Barbados at?
2 and a half, so I'm Bajan.
So you don't get none of the spice flavor.
I mean, I feel like it got some of the spice flavor, you know. I think it in the bones.
well, that's sweet. Big up everyone from Grenada listening, and big up all the Bajans. She's one of ours for sure. So, Leah, how are you, man? How you been doing during this pandemic, during the lockdown? And now we are free. Trying to catch back ourselves from a tremendous slowdown. So how are you mentally, you know, how is your mental space right now?
Man, honestly, like during the pandemic, it was a lot of highs and lows. You know, I lost a job, got a new job, couldn't do music, started back doing music. So it was definitely a lesson in persistence and just trying to hold on to hope and hoping that, you know, things would get better. As of right now, I mean, I'm great. I just had a show yesterday. So it was one of my first live performances basically for the year. And it has really been a roller coaster of experiences between 2020 and now. I worked in Dubai with Tahir and Invest Barbados, my company, BCSI, and some others to represent Barbados. So it's definitely been a mixed bag. But mentally right now, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling hopeful, you know. Just released new music, so it's looking up. How are you?
Sweet. Hey good. Once they're alive, they're good. They can fight. There's a lot of losses lately, but just being honest, there's a lot of losses, but they're good. So you said you spoke about losing a job during the whole milieu. So while some people were able to keep their jobs, while some people were able to stay home and work from home, you've seen that those things, that was not an option for you. You lost a job during all of this. How you as such a creative person, and you know, being creative, not that we are crazy people, but our minds are constantly going.
It's true.
How did you handle losing your job during this time for a young lady, and other young people might be out there listening? And how did you handle losing your job during that time?
Well, I worked, my day job basically is in marketing, right? So yes. I do branding and communications, brand strategy, all that kind of stuff. So when I lost my job, I was unemployed for like 5 months, like almost 6 months. And I'm not going to lie to you, it was rough. Like it was really hard sometimes to feel as though things are going to get better. And while like everybody was telling me, yeah, you know, it's the pandemic, everybody's losing jobs, it doesn't make you feel better about where you're at right now, you know? But for me, honestly, I was grateful to have music as an outlet, because when you're working a day job, you don't get as much time to just put into your craft. So what I did was I kind of, to ease my mind, I kind of dove headfirst, you know, into the music. So I started performing a lot more. I did a show with Barbados Connect. I performed with Ray Vibes and the High Synergy Band at Roundhouse. So I just started to find things to do to try to kind of like not think about the fact that I wasn't sure what was going to happen next. So in a lot of ways, music kind of saved me mentally during that time. And it was just a matter of having a good support system as well. People that were checking in, not just my family, but like close friends and stuff. Just making sure that you're good, you know, and that you keep trying. And eventually got back employed and, you know, life continues.
Well, sweet, sweet. Yeah, music does save us, you know, or well, art in the whole, having an outlet. Art. I'm sure people that be able to paint, draw and sculpt, people that were able to act, people that were able to write, whether it's writing music or writing plays, I'm sure that provided a outlet. So it's always a plus to being an artist and being able to focus on it more. We see the results. So Ben, so during that time, right, Leah, during that time, when you was off a five month break, but you're able to dive headfirst into the music and focus on your music much more and your art and your craft. Did you see an improvement in the areas? And if so, what areas you saw the improvement on? And what do you think contributed to that improvement the most? What do you think you did that contributed to that improvement the most?
I think the place that I saw the improvement the most would probably be just in getting a real strategy in place for music. Like really sitting down and like having time to think, like, what kind of artist do I want to be? What kind of tracks do I want to put out? Where do I want to experiment? So in 2020, I put out two like more dancehall based songs. So I had a song called Lockdown and then a track called Talk to Me that featured Lead Pipe. And kind of getting to, you know, dabble in different genres because I'm traditionally an R&B artist. You heard a bomb. It was a vibe. Working on like the social media side of things, interacting with the people who currently follow me, and I'm really continuing to build their support. I would say that's definitely where I've seen the improvement. And the results of that I saw from my two shows that I had at the Sage Bar and Stage over the past 2 weeks. We had a full house each time, different faces each week. And, you know, the lovelies, they're coming out to support. They're keeping tabs on what's going on. So, yeah, I'm definitely seeing the results of that time and that focus.
Sweet, sweet. So, listen, when I want to know from you, want to get your business now, when this bug first bit you to do music, when you first knew, because for me, it's only you was doing music a while, you sound that good, you know, your package look that well put together. So, you're welcome. So, when this bug first hit you, how early you were, how young you were?
The earliest memory I have of like singing in like a choir was like, I think it was like 3 or 4. So I started off singing in church and not really thinking about music as anything other than something that just felt as natural as breathing, you know? So I'm the youngest in my family, and I was that annoying sibling who was like both a morning person and then was constantly like singing in the house. So I had everybody very annoyed for years because anything that came on, reggae, R&B, dance hall, anything like that, I'd be singing country music. I don't care, whatever it is, I'm learning it, I'm singing it. In terms of taking it seriously and considering myself like an artist, though, that took a long time because I don't know, I think traditionally, especially in like the 90s and stuff, not to age myself, but in the 90s, your parents weren't really saying like pre-Rihanna times, oh, music is a viable option as a career, you know? And I think because I was gifted like with math, with science, with everything, my parents were kind of the opinion, like, don't just stick to this maybe of doing music or an artist, you know, like go and do something else. So I actually have a degree in international development studies and Spanish because I was thinking initially that I was going to go and work in like foreign affairs or like work for the UN or one of them. And it's when I was in college, that's when it really hit me. Like, I really want to do music. Like, I'm doing this stuff and yeah, it's okay, but it's not where my heart is. But I finished my degree. And then after that, my mom was kind of like, whatever you want to do next, I'll support you. And I was in Toronto at that time for university, and I worked there for a bit. And then I came back home in 2015, and I did the Honey Jam program, and that kind of solidified my decision, like, to really go after being an artist. And I would say I became an artist in 2017 when I released my first track, and that was Burn. So yeah, here we are.
Sorry,
it was a long road.
Yeah, yeah, a long road still yet. Still yet young, and still yet long to travel.
Let me ask Lee a question, Sluggy. Lee, were your major influences in terms of style and when it comes to writing, angles, topics, series, those type of questions? Because as brilliant as you are, you had to be inspired by somebody.
Of course. I have a very mixed bag when it comes to influences. I love Alicia Keys. She would be a big one for me. But then I'm also a fan of Buju and Billie Holiday. I like jazz. I started off doing jazz at first, going through like Honey Jazz and that kind of thing. And and Anita Baker. And I love Allison. So those are my like main influences there, like a blend of all of them. So I kind of do like, I'd say island soul. You know what I mean? Because it's not quite R&B, it's not quite soca, but it's kind of a blend, a nice little fusion of everything. So yeah.
Adele and Taylor Swift have been cited by most music fans as having a certain motivation for writing many of their songs, as if they seem to be on a consistent thread of, I don't know, marriage, divorce, ex-boyfriend, you did this, I did that. How do you view that type of style? And it's been very successful for both of them.
I mean, I see a lot of that in my own music. A lot of my inspiration is personal. Music is kind of like a journal. I'd say before I had the confidence to like express myself outwardly, I was very like introverted and I would write my feelings. So I guess that still continues till this day. And yeah, it is therapeutic. And I think people are able to relate to music when it is done in that way, because it's literally just you're reading into a person's life and in some ways kind of getting insights into your own. So I definitely don't see anything wrong with that style of music. I think Drake does it a lot too.
And locally, who are some of the artists, especially female artists, that you were watching as you were coming up?
Allison Hynes was a big one, for sure. Like, you saw a lot of Allison Hynes on TV. I got to meet her, I think, in, like, 2018. And I stuttered. I was starstruck. I really was. So she's a big influence, especially because, like, when she was doing her thing, like, it was a very male-dominated industry. And she's really just trailblazed the path for a lot of women in Barbados to kind of be authentically themselves. She's very bold, but she's feminine, she's sexy with it. It's very nice. So Allison will be a big one. Outside of that, Mahalia as well. The first time I think I performed live that was outside of church was on Mahalia's Corner in the open mic when it used to be in Bump and Wine, which was a while ago now. So Mahalia's also been a big influence and like had a big impact, like seeing what she's done for like local artists by having a platform where you can go up there and kind of sing anything and it doesn't matter and get honest feedback from people and get support from a local crowd was also really, really helpful for my journey.
What do you think needs to be done to improve the plight of artists and in particular musicians and singers who have commercial ambitions?
I think we really need to solidify a music industry down here. And not just in the sense of, okay, like we have a main genre, which is soca, but I mean in terms of having all of the key factors business-wise that an artist would need. So we don't, like, I find in Barbados, and it might be a wider issue in the Caribbean as well, where we don't have a structure in place. Like, we have a lot of people who want to be artists, but where are the managers? Where are the booking agents? Where are the publishing companies? Where's the data that a label is going to need to be able to say, okay, well, this person has X amount of streams. When they perform, this is the kind of crowd that they bring out. So I think when it comes to like that level of structure, we are lacking that still in our industry. And that's something that we really need to build out. Also, artist education is sorely lacking as well. I see that the NCF has been really like trying to do a lot more when it comes to that. But just if you ask certain artists, like if they've ever heard of an ISRC code, they're going to look at you with a blank expression. How do you start a business as an artist? Why is it important to collect your publishing? How do you do distribution? A lot of Caribbean artists didn't even realize that before Spotify was even available down here, that you could be getting your stuff on Spotify and buying for playlisting options and that kind of thing before like it actually came to the Caribbean. So it's that level of education to me, and then the structure that needs to be around an artist in a business sense that I think we are missing.
Earth to Kevin. Kevin C.
I'm here.
Okay.
No, I'm here, buddy.
Okay.
I'm here. Just need to finish that. Nicely early. I heard you mention about, you mentioned Ronnie about artist education. How do you feel? Because I find it's quite difficult. Like obviously you can hold your artists close, you can educate your own circle. But like you said, we need the industry and these are things that we need. How do we get artists educated on a wider base, at a much wider level, so that this information is commonplace? So like things like getting your music up for streaming is important, so that things like publishing and owning your publishing and so on is important. Because before you, we had a youngster called Mad Mixy on here as well.
So producer, yeah.
Yeah, and he was speaking about publishing as well, mm-hmm. which means that it's something that artists are trying to realize. But how do we get this information wide base, this education wide base? What do you think we need to do?
Honestly, because
certainly is a problem.
It is, and I don't think it's an issue where like people haven't been trying, right? I think it's an issue of being able to reach persons in a way that they can understand. So I think it would take probably like another artist being able to like come into a forum, like having open spaces where conversations can happen about like what it means to really be an artist from a business sense, like an understanding the business of music. So I think it's gonna take somebody educating themselves and then still wanting to sacrifice enough to make sure that they educate the others around them. So I think that's really what it's going to come down to, like having open creative spaces where artists and people from within the creative community in general, because I'm sure if you talk to the visual artists, the dancers, all the others, they would say that they're having similar structural issues. So I think we need to create open forums where people with the answers, with the education, are able to come in and speak in a relatable way. Because a lot of times, like not just artists, most people these days have really short attention spans. So it's about getting that information in a way that is understandable and in your face, quick.
Yeah, I agree. And that way do a lot of things online, especially on IG and so on with Danico and Kwan and OG and Hushman and those people, because those have got a lot of following. And you know, just let them do them thing, but then make sure you control it from the end and get there, push out certain messages. But you don't want it feel like school and too structured. If not, you know, then you get bored and all these viewers can go mm-hmm. ahead. So I do agree. It's just that we got to go where they are and teach them. And but one person can't do it, that we realize. You know what I mean? Trying to do it all yourself is insurmountable.
Correct.
It's multiple, but it's a lot of information that needs to be discussed and regularly too. It can't just be a one-off, you know, and finish. It gotta be something that you catch on, get them to catch on, and keep beating home the message. So
yeah.
So I do agree. For you, where this knowledge comes from for you? Where did you get this awareness? Because of your studies, because of your marketing experience.
I really didn't know anything. I didn't know much about the industry itself when I came in. I just knew that I enjoyed singing, and I felt like I was a writer, you know what I mean? I did the Honey Jam program, as I said, when I first started in 2015. And part of what the program does is they have workshops. So they have like a songwriting workshop, a business of music workshop. So that was kind of the introduction. And then from there, I just started doing research. The internet is all of our friend, but sometimes it can feel a bit overwhelming if you don't know what you're looking for. So I really just started watching people asking questions and just typing things in on Google, on YouTube, and seeing what comes up. Further to that, I also did a program with Caribbean Export for songwriting and music production. They hold a lot of programs as well for creatives that you can apply for, but I think sometimes it's just about getting that information out to the creatives so that they could take advantage of those opportunities. So when I did that, that was also in 2020, and that was like through Island Network Inc., which is a company in St. Vincent. And they basically brought together like songwriters and producers from across the region, and they brought in like a Grammy award winning producer to kind of sit down and like talk to us about like the business side of music and all the different steps. And they gave us like, you know, a lot of different material in terms of stuff like what a basic contract should look like, the importance of making sure you have splits and all that kind of thing. So it's been a lot of independent research and going and getting it for myself and then looking at what's around and trying to jump in, you know, and see if I can get the knowledge. So, yeah.
Well, nice. I love that. You write majority of your own music?
Yeah.
What space you have to be in when you're writing? You're someone that can write anywhere, or you must be quiet?
No, I like to write by myself primarily. Most of the times if I'm starting a song, I need to be like in my own space and kind of have room to kind of hear myself, basically. But then after that, like once I have the core idea, then there's no issue with me like being in the studio with other people and then bouncing ideas off, or like just by being in there with other people. But at some point in time during the song, I like to be alone and really be able to like get into my head and think about what I want to say. So.
Well, nice. But
every song is different. Like Facts. Talk to Me. Yeah, Talk to Me. That was me and Mixie were in the studio. We were just building a vibe and I wrote the track there in like a few minutes. So it just depends.
You're bad. In a few minutes, you're bragging for me. I think Ronnie McGregor said, in a few minutes, I talk about
that. That can work sometimes, but it doesn't work all the time. So when it works, give thanks.
It doesn't. Exactly.
It's true. Freestyle artist, I think.
Yeah.
Now we're talking, you freestyle too, Leah?
I don't consider myself a freestyle artist at all. I prefer to sit down and take my time.
Cool. Nice. Well, good. At least we have royalty in the building. Royalty just join us, Sir Tahir. My brethren, good evening, my brother. How are you?
If it's royalty, I don't know what you are, boy, but I just humble to be here. To be here. Good evening, my brother. Good evening, Barbados. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. And we have the super talented Leah here, and you know we both, or do you young yourself like me, like you old Uncle Sluggy, you love to give the young people props, and you always put me on the people or tell me Sluggy check this body here, or Sluggy, you know anybody for this, which is something I love about you. You never contact me for anything yourself that is to do with you showcasing you. There's always someone. And remember you was first telling about Leah, the artist Leah. What was it to hear about Leah that catch your attention, that made you say that this artist here, I feel that she's someone that could represent Barbados, and she's multifaceted, you know, like She's brilliant. She's educated. She speaks well. She's down to earth and she's talented, right? She's many things. But what was it about her that captured your attention, my brother?
Well, that's an excellent question. And you all the points you stated there are correct, totally correct. And I'm very smart, down to earth. One thing to add, she's very humble as well. And not a lot of artists, a lot of young artists don't have that trait within them, you know? But she's very humble. But let me give you the story. We go back to, as Ashley mentioned earlier, but was listening in the car on the way home. We met in Dubai, and we had to work on the same assignment together, you know? And for the opening of the pavilion, we were given the task to organize the opening. We had a big ambassador there and different dignitaries and stuff, you know?
And this is the opening in Dubai?
Yeah, yes. The opening in Dubai. Hear the story, Sluggy.
Go ahead, we are all ears. So ladies and gentlemen, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Tahir, and he's here joining us until the end. We are on live on VOB 92.9 FM, Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, 434-1790. Go ahead, my brother.
Yeah, I want y'all to call in. So basically, I was given the task to organize the whole event for the opening. And we said, well, I did the agenda for the launch. And I said, well, we have to sing the national anthem, you know? So we looking around. And I said, well, I ran to Ashley. We know Ashley's a talented singer. I never heard her sing before. I didn't know who Ashley was. I said, well, Ashley, you have to sing in front of the big crowd. And this is 5 minutes before they start. Ashley did not back down. Ashley said, that's cool. I'm going to do it. And Ashley went there, and the ambassador started to cry when she started to sing. A lot of people in the crowd started to cry. And even myself, I was the MC of the event. And I had a lot of goosebumps on my skin, you know, and that's just the talent she is. So from there, working on the spot, a lot of creatives have that ability to, and I applaud y'all for that. Just being called on the spot and singing in front of a crowd is something that I really, really commend y'all for. I know a lot of people have that talent, and that's where I knew she was a talent. And any opportunity, as you say, Sluggy, to give persons a window and a show to show their talent, that's what we need to do a lot more in Barbados, for sure. And the same thing this morning, thank you for sending the young singer from Foundation to come. Daniel.
Yes, correct. I put
her on the spot as well this morning to sing. And she sang two lines for us at the NTA. So I was really grateful for that, you know? So I must applaud all the creatives, and that's where I met Ashley from, you know, and that talent friend there.
Nice, and thanks for bigging up, Ahanje. And man, we, Tahir and Leah, we just have so much talent at a certain level. I mean, like, per capita, it gotta be crazy.
It's true.
Extremely talented. Like Leah said, it's just educating the artists on certain things. And then when education, finish, structure, and then giving them opportunities beyond the shores. I think that's certainly what's needed. I think by now, Leah, we established that we are talented. That's how being established. It can't be a question. The talent, we have a huge number of talent, a potpourri of talent, you know what I mean? So we don't have to search for talent. It's like you said, education and the structure. Tahir, your mission in Dubai was what? And what did you feel you accomplished in Dubai? And then I want to hear from Leah, because for you all, I'm more sure, although you all were in the same place, I'm sure the experiences, obviously we all taking experiences different. So I want to hear how Dubai was for you and what you take away from Dubai, and the same thing for Miss Phillips.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, but I think we got to go to a commercial break. I saw the signal there.
Well, sweet. Let me go, Mr. Clark.
Entrepreneurship is the name of the ship that so many people want to sail, the financial security. But these entrepreneurial seas don't necessarily be easy. If you want to navigate the sometimes choppy waters of business, make it your business to get an education and get informed with one or more of the business and entrepreneurship courses from the NTI and Coursera. There's a course like Entrepreneurship 1, Laying the Foundation. This course will help you to develop a foundational understanding of the entrepreneurial process. It's a short course, 18 hours long. Complete it at your own pace, in your own time, in your own place, fully online, fully accredited, totally free. No data charges apply. Go to training.nti.org.bb to see this and many other incredible courses. training.nti.org.bb. Go and get it, go getter, because you're never too good to get better.
Bradley with Sunrise, excellent work. Lee, give us some insight into this track, the album it was on, and the production quality. Who was responsible for making it sound the way it sounds? Mic on, please. Can't hear you without the mic on.
Thank you. Sorry about that. So Sunrise was produced by Mad Mixy. It's on the album Queen. And this song in particular was basically what I want to say to my younger self. So it was dedicated to my nieces. So they're actually featured in the music video for the song. And it was basically talking about the fact that, you know, life is gonna come at you and you just have to maintain hope, you know, stay open to life, to love, to everything that's gonna happen. And every day is a new day and something new and better can happen with every sunrise.
And tell us about the album, the number of tracks on it. You did some collaborations as well.
Yes, so Queen is a 9-track album. It's available on all major streaming services. So wherever you listen to your music, you can find Queen, including YouTube. And it has two features from two Jamaican artists that I had met in 2018 while doing a tour with Club One New Releases, which was a TV show that was featured regional artists from the Caribbean who were then paired up with artists from the East Coast of Canada. And we went to Trinidad and to Newfoundland. So there I met these two Jamaican artists that are featured on Queen, Indy Allen and Jamila Falak. So I wrote the tracks in 2019, reached out to them, and then they jumped on and the rest is history.
And Jamila was featured on David Curtin's recent collection.
That's right. Jamila's been doing a lot of amazing stuff. She was actually also featured recently on Shaggy's Christmas album. So she's definitely an up-and-coming artist for the region.
Yeah, that track gets a lot of rotation, especially on the beat, which has Christmas from October through November into December. Christmas in July sounds nice, but I don't think Bajans will accept that. And this new single that you released, is it just a single or another album is coming?
Another album is coming, but this one is going to be a joint project between myself and Bajan hip hop artist Sivers the Third. It's going to be called Sucks to Be You.
Good man. Sivers.
That's great. Big up to Sivers and the entire Red Isle Records team. And basically, the album is going to be about the ups and downs of relationships. So the good, the bad, and the in-between moments. And it's basically about, you know, when you look back after a relationship has ended, you can look at all the scenarios and at the end, you can see how you've grown from the situation. So Body on My Body is the first single. At my show last night at the Sage Bar and Stage, Sivers came on and we performed one of our upcoming singles, that's Joyride. Sucks to Be You is gonna be produced between three producers. So Mad Mixy, Winjo, and then we have a couple of tracks as well that are produced by Chris Rose. So it's definitely going to be a musical delight for listeners, and we're taking you through a couple of genres.
All younger and newer producers, what about doing something with Nicholas or Chris, Ricky Brathwaite? If you, let's say, for example, did a project which was targeting the more mature audience, you did an album of standards, because look, Rod Stewart's career was revived by doing the American Songbook. He did three volumes and sold banillions of albums. He could have sat there and done 20 original songs too, but he did that before with things like Every Picture Tells a Story and Maggie May. So what's the possibility of working with those persons that have really put that blood, sweat and tears in for over 40 years in some cases?
I mean, I'd be open to it for sure. I mean, Branker especially is a legend, right? I guess it would just be about making those connections. Mm-hmm. That's really it. But I mean, I'd be super open to that.
You heard it first here on Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme.
Yes, correct. And I'm sure that could happen. And Branker is a legend, man. You know, he's absolute one of the goats. Really,
yeah, definitely. Like when he does his YouTube videos with his younger like team now, and you see him like the way that he reinvents certain songs and stuff, and just. I'm just saying, like, what is this man, like, what does he be thinking about? You know what I mean? What he's be thinking?
He's brain on a different level, for sure, sure, sure. Certainly one of the greats. But it's pleasing to hear Ronnie answer that question. And equally as pleasing to hear you say, of course, you are open, you know? Because I think something like that would be great. That's a wonderful idea. But like Ronnie said, you heard it first here on BJ Rhythm and Rhyme. And people, that is Lee Phillips. Don't mind saying Leah the whole evening. That is Lee Phillips. Lee Phillips. You know, absolutely amazing. I was asking the great Tahir about his experience in Dubai and something he took away from Dubai that he can implement home. And when he's finished, his singing question goes for Miss Lee Phillips.
Thank you for the question, Sluggy. And yeah, Dubai was just an experience in itself. It showed me a whole different light of Barbados, you know, and how the world views Barbados. And I find we as Barbadians don't appreciate that enough. And for me personally, I didn't appreciate it enough. And I'll give you four things that stood out for me personally. I'm sure Ashley would agree as well. One, our Prime Minister, how she's viewed in the world space is just truly, truly, truly outstanding and remarkable. Her impact in the globe, on the globe, is truly amazing. I'll give you a story. A time we were at work and this lady came in pavilion and she started to talk on the prime minister, you know, and she was saying, look, this lady gives me hope. This lady gives me vision. She's the Martin Luther King or the Marcus Garvey of today. You know, she's the prime minister of the Caribbean. And this lady from America, a next lady came in and she was saying, you know, when the George Floyd incident happened, she said, I used to listen to Mia's speeches and that used to give me hope. These big men from Africa will come in and say, you know, who is Barbados? What is Barbados? Who is Mia? You know, she's the president of Africa now. The man used to call her the president of Africa too. These is people, not just one or two. This is probably hundreds of people. I will honestly say that after the Republic, after Rihanna became a hero as well, after COP26, the whole transformation agenda, we must commend the NTA team for the work they're doing and the courses we're putting on to really transform Barbados. The second thing is Rihanna. You spoke on that, the impact Rihanna has had globally. What happened is before he left home, and y'all might quarrel me for this, y'all are creatives, y'all are cultural practitioners, but I was up in the air on Rihanna becoming a national hero. But when I went there and saw the impact she's had on people and putting Barbados on the map, my opinion changed. She's had a significant impact. Thirdly, the West Indies cricket team, Barbados cricket on a whole. People love cricket and people know Barbados because of cricket. And you see, it's not. And then the fourth thing is our people. People love and gravitate to our people. And that's just something amazing. Those four things have really stood out for me. And that made me appreciate what we have a lot more. That made me truly appreciate what we have more. And if we look at the fields that people are gravitating to, those are untraditional sectors in Barbados that we don't look into enough. We don't put enough investment into those sectors. You know, the cultural sector in Rihanna, the sporting arena in our cricketers, road tennis, for example, you know, and then thirdly, our people, our prime ministers in a league of our own. But those three sectors, we really need to start investing a lot more in. So those things really, really stood out for me. If we can get some of our cultural practitioners out there on the big stage, that would be amazing. But we hopefully that would be in the works, man.
Okay, we have a caller. Mr. Ronnie Clark.
We do indeed. Good evening and welcome to Page and Rhythm and Rhyme.
Good evening. I believe this Ashley is the daughter of Carolyn Chiron.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. I'm very impressed, but then again. I'd like to wish you the very best in your ventures or adventures. And up and on.
Up and on. Thank you.
Right. Great. Bye-bye.
Wonderful call of support and affirmation there. And that is only one, I think, of the many that people would wish to make before 7:30, but certainly represents the view of those who know you and those who you may not know you, but are following you and supporting you at the same time.
Yep.
Well, that's true. And
you definitely know me.
It's true. Thanks for that call. 434-1790. You know, brilliant young minds. Star Bajans, Tahir and Lee. And thanks for the calls. Keep the calls coming. 434-1790. Let us know you heard some tracks from Miss Lee Phillips. Rhythm Think is absolutely brilliant, and salutes to Mad Mixie, you know, a very good young producer as well. Salute to Sibbers III, very good young artist.
Another caller, Sluggy. Let's all go. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Miss Ashley. This is Miss Martin here. This is the good luck on your journey. You will get there. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you
yes.
so much.
Yes. I love it.
Thank you. My. You hear that warmth? You hear that affection? You hear that pride there in that call? That's awesome.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. So
she came to my show last week with a whole group of people. She loves my track, Coconut Oil. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Miss Marho. Thank you always. For roties just now.
coconut oil is a big truth. Coconut oil is is a big one. And thanks for the calls. 43417 is your love, this support for the youth. I love to hear this support for our young artists. 43417 90. In the meantime, while you're calling Lee, you heard Tahir spoke about some things that he loved about Dubai, and some of the things about us that made him appreciate them more from being in Dubai. Now they want to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay. So I was in Dubai representing the Barbados Coalition of Service Industries. So they are basically an umbrella organization for the services sector. So basically my mandate while I was there was, of course, to work within the Barbados Pavilion, make connections, same as Tahir, hopefully for that can lead to investment, and to also tell people about some of the services that we offer in Barbados. Very similar to Tahir, the things that really stood out for me the most, of course, was the impact of culture on the market out there. There's a lot of sea, sand, and sun everywhere. A lot of people did not know who Barbados was, but they knew of Rihanna. They knew of Sir Garfield Sobers. They were shocked to hear about our level of education. They were pleased to hear that we were a democracy. We have a female leader. Like, and these are the things that really stood out for people. One of the other things that also stood out for people was things like our renewable energy goals for 2030, and things like we had a solar water heater on display, and seeing the opportunities for renewable energy investment within Barbados. That was a big deal. In terms of what I learned, Dubai is so ahead, so innovative. Like everywhere you go, like you can do so many things cashless. You can do so many things from your smartphone, you know, pay for a taxi, order food, like everything is seamless. And that is their, like, that's what they hope for with their customer service journey. Because at the end of the day, they're in the same business as Barbados, right? Where we are all about service. So I think that we definitely have things that we can learn when it comes to the ease of doing business, the ease of getting things done, and the level of connectivity that they had down there. And then also they had a really deep respect for arts and culture. When we were at the expo, every single day, you would see some kind of art on display. So whether that's murals, they had a lot of lighting shows, and then they had they had visual artists, they had dancers, they had, I don't even know what you call them, stilt walkers, but they weren't like our stilt walkers. They did other things. They had robots down there, but it was all about making an impact and being memorable. So I definitely think like our culture for them too was fascinating. And you saw a lot of similarities between ourselves throughout the Caribbean pavilions and then the African pavilions. And I think we really need to harness what we have in terms of culture and really see it for the moneymaker that it can be, and make sure that we contribute to our economy. We're talking about, you know, expanding from just doing tourism. And I really think that culture needs that push because it is economically the way forward, and not just in Barbados, but globally.
Well, that is brilliant. When I hear people marvel at our culture, it makes me feel so good. It makes me feel so good to see, well, you know, these things that we take for granted, the way we speak, the way we perform, the type of music we do, you know, the way we prepare our food, you know, the way we dress, the way
our pepper sauce, like.
Right, yeah, you know what I mean, the way. And I find like simple things from traveling a lot. I find a simple thing, like how we socialize, it'd be quite different too. Like how we socialize, what some people might call liming, you know, like how we socialize is quite different. Like, it's quite a Bajan thing. Well, a lot of Caribbean islands do it as well, but after an event, to lime after the event. And I remember I was in Canada and my cousin and I was liming after the event, and just there talking, and the line was just as exciting as the show. And that was something like Ronnie, that was something amazing to my cousin friends that they can't believe it. Like after the show was really good, But we saw that as an opportunity now to hold we online after, you know, and speak about what now happened. You know, like you laid a good tonight, though. My base, my weapon there, and I'm rock steady. And like that, you know, I'm talking about it after. And them find that real amazing. You know, they just didn't just want to go home, crash out. But for us, a great performance, don't care what tearing it is, mean that's a great opportunity to speak about it. So the better we perform, the more we rock out for sure. Lee, the more energy we've got after from the adrenaline. But for a lot of people, let me see as the climax go home. So even the way we socialize the people is be amazing. I guess that's why Tahir say that just the people alone, like people in Dubai, just like the Beijing people. What are some of the things, Lee and Tahir, that you feel we should concentrate on much more when it comes to our culture? What are some of the things you feel we should concentrate on much more? Bimba, you were in Dubai, you saw what can sell, and God, we being real here now, you know, it's about making money for the economy, it's about generating income, it's about diversifying the economy. So I want to hear, and then we can end with Miss Lee Phillips. To hear, what are some of the things you think we should concentrate on more?
You know, we gotta just showcase our talent a lot more. We have a tourism product and we have lots of tourists coming in. But do our people within our communities feel like they're contributing and part of that tourism product? Do have that seat at the table?
Got a good question.
To say, well, I am contributing in a meaningful way to the development of our tourism product. And as real transformation got to take place, we have probably, I heard today that a lot of our South Coast hotels are practically full. Cricket is coming next week. Tourists are in the country. But our young talents, like Lee, say Yahanji that I met today for the first time, are they having that opportunity to showcase their talent within these hotels? Do they have a space to showcase this talent holistically? And for me, that's where we need to start, you know? I think we need to showcase our talent a lot more. We could talk about investment the whole day into our thing, but we got to be that change.
Agreed, and for sure, we're going to do that. The tourist is here. We are ready to hear, and be sure we got the NTA on board. NCF is listening. Division of Youth is listening. Good evening to all of you. I love you, and thanks for listening. Lee, we'll be wrapping up with Lee. I want you to tell me two things you want to see more from us to wrap up. Two things you want to see more from us as Barbados on the whole.
In terms of our product and what we yes. can sell and monetize,
yes.
I
yes,
definitely
please.
Say food and Aye. our culture. Like our food is so unique and so Oof. Is our culture. And when we talk about like piggybacking off that here, when we talk about having opportunities for the youth to perform and get in front of these crowds and, you know, even build a following at home,
mm-hmm.
we need to stop this thing that we do where we cater to a tourist when it comes to our culture in terms yes. of, okay, we're going to sing two Anita Baker songs. We're going to sing yes. three Bob Marleys.
Yeah,
we're
yeah. going to Beatles. Sing
some Beatles.
Elton John, you know the thing.
Show them what is Barbados. They come here for that experience. And then when you get to go and work with a hotel or whatever, then you're told, okay, well, you have to keep it within this box, right? And it's not really our culture that they're seeing. They're getting a nice song that they can get anywhere else in the world. We need to be more proud of our culture and our artists and our original content and allow it to be pushed as a part of our product. Because when people are coming here, as I said, you can get sea, sand, and sun, plenty places in the world that are not necessarily as far as Barbados is, that may be less expensive than Barbados. And what we have to do is kind of keep in our own sauce. You know what I mean? So you have to say, this is us, this is who we are.
And unapologetic.
Put that and be unapologetic about it. And it's what Jamaica has done and has continued to do for decades, and it has worked for them. And
we wonder what they're
seen as the pinnacle of the Caribbean, because they are unapologetically Jamaican. And Bajans should believe in themselves and in our products, whether that is food, arts, business, whatever. Believe in Beijing. Buy Beijing. Support Beijing.
Woo, man. Brilliant young minds that we're talking about. Yeah, getting so many messages, people. Yes, I'm loving it as well. You have been great. Mr. Nobby, I will give you the final words to wrap up, to say to the youngsters, to the young king and queen, before we wrap up, Mr. Clark.
Well, it's a blessing to know that we have such gifted, talented, and knowledgeable young people in positions of influence and authority. And I'm sure when I collect my pension after the age of 67, or if it's not 75 by the time that time comes around, I will be checking the news and checking the developments of Barbados of that day and seeing slightly older Tahir and slightly older Leanne certainly excelling in their specific fields, and many of their peers who are of similar ilk, and Barbados in general moving forward. So I want to encourage both of you to continue to be as brilliant as you are, to be as focused and dedicated and as passionate as you are, and remain a part of what can be considered tribe Barbados, not tribal as in divisive, but as a nation. So to Leanne and to Tahir and to you, Sluggy, we're all members of that tribe. Sluggy and I, we're slightly older, but don't worry, we're there still. Respect your elders. Have a wonderful evening. Super Saturday, Team Barbados.
T-R-I-B-E. It's not about old friends or new friends, it's about energy. Been asking Jah to keep the right people next to me. Help me to see the fakes and who wants the best for me. The best for me, yeah. It's not about old friends or new friends, it's about energy. Been asking Jah to keep the right people next to me. Help me to see the fakes and who wants the best for me. I'm rocking with my T-R-I-B.
Of who we attract, no good friend better than pocket money. If you have a ring, one to store, you're goddamn lucky. If you have a good friend, you have to be a good friend. Just know.
Family, knock knock, you hear that? That is opportunity knocking. Let me jump in here real quick to make sure that you open the door. Open the door for the opportunity to grow knowledge and build skills. There are certain skills that no matter where you go or what you do, you will use those skills and they will benefit you. And selling is one of those skills. Yes, selling is a skill and it is one you can learn too. And if you want to become a master at selling, try this course called The Art of Sales, offered by the NTI and Coursera. The Art of Sales is a series of short but superbly designed courses which will put you on course to be a master at selling your product, selling your business, or selling yourself on the job market. The Art of Sales is available along with hundreds of other courses from the NTI and Coursera. Go to training.nti.org.bb, training.nti.org.bb, and sign up for the free, fully accredited online courses. No data charges apply. There ain't no reason why you shouldn't go to training.nti.org.bb. Go and get it, go getter, because you're never too good to get better.